It's Tuesday, October 13th. Week 5 was another wild one. Dak Prescott goes down with an unfortunate injury. Alex Smith does come back, and more COVID rescheduling. It's Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gowen. This is Jeff Schwartz, Smarter Than You. Gabe, welcome. And you said one last time from London. You're tucked away in a different room now, in the same house, I think, but you're in London. We're making this work via technology. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm going to miss you next week. Matt Ford's going to sub in for me because I will be flying over your head across the Atlantic, having probably the second worst day of my year, the worst day being when I flew over here. So me and three young children will be zooming over your head, watching Pixar movies on repeat.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. But guess what? We're going to have fun today. We're going to make that trip a little bit better for you, hopefully. So, look, lots to get to, obviously. A lot of injury news. A lot of COVID news. It was an okay weekend of football. There wasn't even really anything that really was remarkable that stood out to me other than your Jets just, you know, the Jets and Giants 0-10 in New York. But let's start off with another NFC East opponent, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but, bro, why taking shots at the Jets? Chiefs lost too, and you've been triggered all day on Twitter. So
the Chiefs, you know. It's okay. Look, here's a couple of things. I'm open to having discussion on social media about a lot of things, right? Like we can talk most anything. The one I'm not is offensive line play. I am not wrong when I talk about offensive line play. You might not like to hear it, folks. Pat Mahomes is not playing very well in the pocket right now. I said it. Okay. Is the Chiefs offensive line perfect? No, they're not. They've also made errors as well. But in general, pass protection is a balance between the blocking unit, which includes the running back and tight ends, and the quarterback, right? There has to be some sort of rhythm between those units. The offensive line has to know where the quarterback's going to be. Quarterback has to get there and trust that we're going to do our job. And right now in Kansas City, it's not happening. You know, Pat drops too deep and bails out. The very next play, someone else gets beat. And then the very next play, it looks great, but Pat does this. And then the next play, it looks bad, but Pat makes a great play. It's just every play is so different. They need to get back on the same page. So that's what's happening in Kansas City for those freaking out. They hadn't lost in over 365 days, I believe. Like, they're fine. It's going to be okay, everyone. It's going to be fine. Lost one game. So enough with that. Let's move on to the Cowboys.
All right, we'll talk Cowboys. So Dak Prescott, he's already been in and out of surgery since that brutal ankle injury. I think everyone saw it in the Cowboys win. Actually, it was a win on Sunday. So according to Schefter, Dak had the surgery for a compound fracture and a dislocation of his right ankle. Really nasty injury. Apparently, surgery went well. That's good news. Twitter blew up in reaction, naturally. Lots of people immediately pointed to the money part of this. You know, he turned down that big deal in the offseason, reportedly. Everyone was saying, oh, should he have signed? Now look what happened. Jeff, actually, you seemed very shaken up by this. You didn't have the same reaction as most people with takes online. Before we get to some of that hotter stuff, I just want to know what was going through your mind as you saw Dak down in a heap holding that ankle.
I'm glad you mentioned the emotional part of this because I feel like this is different than other injuries. We've talked a lot about injuries, and we're going to get to Alex Smith too. We've talked a lot about injuries, right? I've been injured a bunch in the NFL. For a refresher, I had 6 surgeries in the NFL, dislocated my toe. I fractured it, dislocated my ankle. Not the same injury, but still, you know, I left the field on a stretcher with an ankle injury, right? Like it was a long rehab. And I broke it a second time, by the way. So I understand what he's going through. And you're right. We get conditioned to be emotionless, right, when it comes to injuries. It's just part of the game. 100% injury chance, you're going to get it. And when guys get hurt, you feel sad and you move on. But it felt different for Dak for many reasons. You mentioned the contract. That's a big part of this as well. But I think because he was having such a great season as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback in a franchise year when he needed to have a great season. And I think we saw yesterday for the first time and I can remember real emotion from an owner when it came to a player. When Dak got hurt, you look up in the box, then they showed the video up there. I mean, Jerry Jones, and they were in their masks, but I mean, Jerry Jones was visibly upset. I don't know if he was tearing up, but he was visibly upset, Gabe. Yeah. Look at Stephen Jones, his son was consoling, I assume it's his wife. She was crying in his arms, okay? You look at Mike McCarthy and his face. And then Jason Garrett, who's his former coach, now the Giants offensive coordinator, walks over there and checks on his, I would assume he loves Dak Prescott as well. And all the stories you've heard about his leadership and what he's done for that city. And also, I appreciate his openness to talk about mental issues, right? I mean, that I think is under-discussed in community, especially between men and in sports. And I'm glad he's able to talk about that. So everything, right, about that was emotional. And I think that even for me, like, I was pissed yesterday for about 10, 15 minutes. I was pissed because it's not supposed to go this way, right? It's supposed to play off his franchise tag and get his long-term contract. And it didn't happen that way. And it might still happen. He's still going to get paid. We'll get to that in a second. But it just, the whole scene, Jeff Allen, a good buddy of mine, tweeted like, I'm not watching football anymore today. I mean, I couldn't remind you the last time an injury happened when someone said that, right? And guys said it all the time. I mean, no one said that when Alex Smith broke his leg, I'm not watching football again. It just was like, I think all those things played a role in it, especially the money. And I know you mentioned the money. Yes, he's getting paid a lot of money this season. That is absolutely correct. That does not make it any easier to break your leg. It doesn't make it any easier, okay? He just determined. We talked about Dak for months, Gabe, right? I mean, you're the first one to bring up, really, we were, I think, but you were the first one, I think, all the way back in, what, December last year, January, about how the Cowboys were going to franchise Dak and not pay him long term.
Yep.
So we've been talking about this for months. It's been months, almost a year now. And they ended up playing on the franchise tag. You know, Dak determined that the contract offered by the Cowboys was not what his worth is. And I think he's probably right. If he were to go on the open market, he'd make more money. It's a market of one right now. Everyone always says you're only worth what the market will pay you. Yeah, but this is not the market. It's a market of one team who has his rights.
Yep.
If you were to go in the open market, you'd get $40 million a year. So he just said, look, I'm not gonna do it. And look, we do not see very often young franchise quarterbacks have horrific injuries like this. Doesn't happen as often. Carson Wentz did his ACL. That's one. But ACLs are so common, right? It's common. I think the visual, too, of his leg, his foot turned out sideways, was really how do you get that out of your head, right? His foot was literally turned sideways. So I think all those led to us being more emotional than usual about that injury.
Well, let's unpack a little bit of that then, because, you know, you've talked about not the exact same injury, but similar injury. And you've talked a lot about injuries and the trouble with rehab. So we got a franchise quarterback here who is going to be fighting to get the deal that he just passed on. You know, he's going to work his butt off to rehab. What can he expect? I mean, what does this look like for him? I know you're not a doctor. You don't know every case, but try to estimate a timetable. Try to give us an insight into what he's going to be doing over the next few months.
So he had emergency surgery essentially right away. And the reason he did that was not the injury per se, because he had a compound fracture. So I'm guessing his fibula, the outside bone, right, the non-weight-bearing bone, broke, which is what happened to me, and it went through the skin. The tibia to me probably didn't go through the skin. So it broke, open wound, got to go clean it right away, which we saw what happened with – we're going to talk about Alex Smith again. That happened to Alex Smith, right? You have an open wound on the field. Now, Alex Smith was in a grass field. This was a turf field. Nonetheless, got to get it cleaned out, got to get it fixed, and got it fixed. He's going to be fine, Gabe. He is he's a young athlete. He's in the prime of his career. He's having great medical care. He's slender build, right? He's a quarterback. He will be fine. Now, will he play great in 2021? Probably not. Will he be ready to play in 2021? Yes. And the question becomes, how does he get paid? Okay. Now, people I've talked to that know the Cowboys well think this will actually get Jerry to pay him. That Jerry will actually feel guilty. And from all words I've heard from Cowboys players over the years, that Jerry Jones is very, very player-friendly coach. And that he – not player-friendly, a player-friendly owner, right? He's
right,
a player-friendly owner. And the stories I know, by the way, that will never make – it's true. He's a very player-friendly. And he'll look at this and feel guilty that the deal didn't get done. Not that he thought that they negotiated in poor faith. Just that they didn't get a deal done, right? That he loves Dak, it just didn't get done. And that he might feel, I'll make it up to him by getting this deal done in some sort of sense. So I think there's a good possibility the Cowboys bring him back on a 4 or 5 year deal. And then he just, he is their quarterback of the future.
So Bill Barnwell, who I think we both agree has got to be one of the top three smartest people on this stuff, particularly how the business side of things works. I won't do it justice, but the short version is he's saying he thinks it's very likely that they'll just franchise him again next year, which would mean he'd get even more guaranteed money next year, which would sort of undercut the argument that, he left all that money on the table. When you combine this season, which is all guaranteed money, right, 30 plus million, next season, maybe as much as like 37, 38 million next year guaranteed, then go for that long-term deal. You know, it's almost like he didn't leave money on the table even with this horrific situation. Is there anything to that in your mind?
Well, yeah, look, if you do the franchise tag for two straight years, you're making a lot of money. It's what Cousins did, right? For two straight years, you're getting, you know, if you count, what, 31 this year, 35, and next year is going to be up near 40. I mean, that's what, $75 million right. over 2 years? That's what quarterbacks are making now, right? But the thing about it, we've talked about this a lot, is the peace of mind with a guaranteed contract. And the Cowboys, by the way, they'd love to have a franchise quarterback. They would love to build their team around Dak Prescott or anyone else for the next 4 or 5 years. They in a perfect world, they would get this done. In a perfect world, Dak would also get his guaranteed money. Everyone's happy. So, no, he would win, quote unquote, win by making $75 million over 2 years. But then he's layered a free agency eventually, which will get him another big contract. And he doesn't have that quote unquote peace of mind because he doesn't have a guaranteed deal. The Cowboys can't build their roster around his contract because he's not making any money for them in 2022. You know, the Chiefs, Gabe, for 10 years now, have Mahomes' number locked in.
Right.
Build a roster around Mahomes' number moving forward. Cowboys can't do that. They can estimate. They can guess. Okay, we'll set aside $35 million for Dak Prescott. But they don't know. They don't know. So, I think he'll be back in the Cowboys uniform next year, whether it's via the franchise tag or a new 5-year deal. I think we can debate because he does have the leverage of the tag. Hey, guys, you're going to pay me X amount of money next year.
Right.
You sure you want to do that? Or you sure you want to spread it over, over a couple of years? One more thing to remember. If the salary cap drops to 175 next year from about 200 right now, the Cowboys are not going to want to pay a quarterback, you know, 40%. Of the salary cap
right.
next season. It's not going to be 40%, but it's, you know, near 30, you know, probably about 30, 35% of the salary cap. They'd rather work out a deal and spread that money out over the long haul of the deal. So I think they'll get something done, actually. And it's wild to think after an injury that they do it, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's totally counterintuitive. People should read what Bill Barnwell wrote about it. Jeff, you just sort of said most of it much shorter. So it sounds like you're on the same page with him. I will ask this. The Cowboys won the game, close game, but they win. Remember, it was a big deal when they signed Andy Dalton. He seemed like one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league. Now he's going to play the rest of the season, we assume. Yeah. I think he's probably still a capable NFL quarterback. They're 2-3. They're atop the division. We know that division sucks. Do we have to take the Cowboys seriously with Andy Dalton, or is this just like a wasted season for them?
Well, I mean, their defense played a smidge better yesterday.
They got bailed out on better, maybe.
They got bailed out on a couple ticky-tack penalties on the Giants. Remember, the Cowboys' offensive line now is out their left tackle. He's out. They're out their center who retired. They're out their right tackle as injured reserve. They're out their backup center. I mean, I think Dalton would be fine if he had an offensive line. It's going to be a problem.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's never been their problem in my lifetime, but if it's his problem this year, then they look like that 7-9 division winner, and, you know, maybe Andy Dalton wins a game in the playoffs if they get lucky, but they're building for Dak next year is what you're telling me. Let me just throw this Hail Mary out there. Just give me some possibility that this could happen. I read this too. Any shot the Cowboys make a deal for a quarterback, and could that guy be Sam Darnold? We'll take a second rounder.
I love that. I think I saw Schefter report. I love Schefter, but poor, like the Jets are doubtful to get a first round pick for Darnold. No shit. You're doubtful. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Which one of your great sources gave you that info, Schefty? Come on, man. Try harder. We love Schefter here, but that was not his finest work.
No, No one's giving the Jets a first rounder. I mean, how is Adam Gase not fired yet?
I mean, you know, sometimes we record this and it takes a few hours for it to go up. I'm predicting between you saying that and people hearing it, he will have been fired. I really think so. We're going to get some other fired coaches later.
Yeah, our staff does a great job, by the way, because, you know, like, I think last week, right, we recorded an entire show. Bill O'Brien got canned. We came back on to record another segment of the show, and they put it all together to make it sound good. So I appreciate it.
Our staff, by the way, let's not inflate it too much. Our staff... A guy named Nick, who lives with like 17 dudes, but has a nicer kitchen than either of us. That's our staff right now.
Fair enough. But I wanted to sound like we were some big old operation.
Well, you know, there's Zuri. Zuri's still on the team. And of course, we got Matt. So you're right. It's a staff.
It's a staff. It sounds official. My podcast staff.
Yeah, even though actually, and Quincy does a lot of good work too. So you know what? It is a staff. It's like
even though you guys do like 10 times the work I do. So, it's fun to say big words like that.
All right. Well, the staff helped put this next topic together. Kind of a serious one, and one that you've been great to hear talk about. But I can't say it's a great topic. I'm kind of scared to even bring it up. So listen. Alex Smith returned to the field yesterday in a very weird set of circumstances. So on one level, it was beautiful. It was inspirational. His family was there clapping for him. It was amazing to see him complete this journey of a comeback. I think most people remember this, but he's been away for almost 2 years. He completely shattered that leg we just spoke about. Horrible infection, 17 surgeries. I mean, the guy literally almost died. And up until a few weeks ago, I wasn't really sure he could walk or move around like an athlete. Well, he took the field. He looked fine. I mean, you can tell me more about how he played, but he could stand there and throw it. Problem was, he was getting sacked all damn day, and I was worried he was going to get killed. Aaron Donald was just laying on him at times. So I think the take that everyone had, including you, I believe, was basically, I love that he came back. Now, can someone please go get him? Why is he still out there? Why was he on the field that whole time?
Yeah, so this is uncomfortable to watch. I'm not going to lie. I watched that game because I bet on the Rams big, and I was right on that. Kyle Allen gets hurt, gets knocked out. Alex Smith comes in, and first of all, let's say a couple things. First, it's remarkable he's made it back, okay? And I've told you guys I did not think he'd ever make it back, and I give him all the credit in the world for making it back on the field. It's been remarkable. Go watch Project 11. It's probably archived on ESPN's website. Go watch it. It's great. Okay. I played with Alex for a year. My brother played with him for 2 or 3 years. Great family. I love that Alex came back and he's healthy enough to play. He should never have played though, Gabe. I mean, like, I was so nervous for him and anxious watching him play. The Washington football team is not a good football team. Their offensive line is not good. And Alex Smith did not look very good playing with that offense on Sunday. Game was in the rain, first of all. It was sloppy. He was check down Charlie was like, you know, 8 for 10 for 32 yards, got sacked 6 times. You know, the first sign of contact, he's going right down. I mean, this all expected, right? It's not unexpected, and it does not at all diminish Alex Smith's ability to get back on the field. And I tweet out, like, Washington said that Kyle Allen was healthy to go the second half. And I was like, well, why didn't you put him in the game? And Washington fans were like, well, Alex Smith gives us the best chance to win. I go, what game are you watching?
Yeah.
He didn't give you the best chance to win yesterday. Kyle Allen did. And so Rivera announced that Allen would start this week if he's healthy. Look, I know Alex wants to play. I've talked to enough people about this. He's not going to listen to this. But dude, you did it, man. You did it. It's done. It's done. Just right off in the sunset. Be done with it. You can stay on the team and play or coach or just dress every week, go to practice, but just you can't. I'm like, dude, I'm so terrified he's going to break his leg in half again. Like if he were to get hurt, I just don't want to think about it. He played. It happened. We cheered for him. His wife and kids got to see him back on the field. He proved everyone wrong. Give him the, what is it? The Walter Payton, not the Walter Payton Award, whatever comeback player.
Comeback player, yeah.
You know, the Walter Payne's for humanity and charity. Whatever, Ed Block Courage Award, which is a award given to every one person, every team for their rehab and comeback. Just, and then you're it. That's it. You're done. Just leave. Be done. Walk away. I know it's not a popular opinion to say that, but that's I think, the right way to go, Gabe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it's not the only opinion. I mean, and everyone, our shared friends in our industry all seem to be saying some version of what you're getting at in that, they were just
trained. But they don't want to say it though. They like, I have no problem saying it. Like everyone's like, no, he should be just be done. You're done, buddy. Like you're done.
No, you're the only one who spelled it out that clearly, but everyone was cringing. So I want to ask you this though, because we believe the coach has got a good heart and is looking out for his players. I don't think he's not like that guy in Friday Night Lights, the movie, like, you know, abusing his players or anything like that. But I'm confused by his answer as to why Smith was out there. He said the reason Allen wasn't out there was out of an abundance of caution because he'd been banged up. Well, where's that abundance of caution for Alex Smith? Like, I don't follow.
Like, I'm curious to know how many other teams would have cleared Alex Smith to play. And I get what Ron Rivera is saying. Look, I trust my medical staff. You know, Ryan Vermillion's his head trainer. He's been with him the entire time he's with the Panthers. Goes up to Washington. They say he can play. All right, he can play. I mean, like, you know, Alex told me he could play. The doctors cleared him. The trainers cleared him. Play. Like that. So that's why I think it's like the hard part for a coach is when everyone says he can play, it's not really your responsibility to tell him he can't play.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, maybe I imagined this because of the headspace we were all in, but I swear, man, on one of those sacks, Aaron Donald, who, of course, loves smashing quarterbacks, and he'll put a little extra on a hit when he can. I swear he was treating him like he had a red jersey on. I imagined it.
I think he was a little bit too.
I mean, and that's terrifying. If guys on the opposing team even know, man, we just got to hold the guy. Like, he's going to go down. We do not need to put any extra on it. We don't want to be the guy who really hurts him badly. I'm with you, man. He can't go back out there. Will they let him play again after seeing what it was like?
Yeah, of course they will.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, we'll keep an eye on that one. It was cool to see him out there, and it immediately got scary. Let's talk about another sort of weird hot button topic of the weekend where opinions are kind of coming from all different directions. So, you know, the Titans are supposed to return to the field against the Bills tonight on a Tuesday night. That's weird, but they've had that outbreak for about 2 weeks. It seemed like it started with players breaking protocols. That's for a different show. Some investigative journalist can unpack that one for us. Broncos Patriots Monday Night Football game postponed over the weekend. Ripple effect, basically 7 teams and 8 games are totally being impacted. Not to mention all the whining that fans out there did yesterday. Twitter was just a bunch of people complaining and sending off memes and acting like they knew better. My buddy Matthew Berry, I think, summed it up best and said, if I had told you in June that you would get football this year, but there will be some last minute game cancellations and a lot of moving parts, you'd have signed up for the deal ASAP. Stop complaining. People's health and safety is more important than your fantasy team. That goes for more than fantasy. Full cosign from me. How do you feel about this?
So it's so interesting, Gabe. College football, as we're recording this, is having games canceled this weekend. Vanderbilt can't even field 53 guys. Virginia Tech played a couple weeks ago with 23 guys out for COVID plus contact tracing. Charlotte, the city I live in, missed a game because one offensive lineman was sick. Everyone else was contact traced, out, can't play. There were 30 games moved or canceled. Houston had 5 different openers this year. 5 different openers this year. And yet, no one gives a shit. No one cares. No one cares. The NFL has 4 guys test positive, right? 3 in the Patriots now. Let's take Tennessee out of it for a second. 3 in the Patriots, 1 in the Chiefs, 1 in the Raiders. So 5 guys. And everyone on social media is like, shut it down. Shut it down. Can't play. Quit the season. Shut it down. And I don't understand. The NFL is actually an example, in my opinion, of how you can do it without a bubble. It's an example. They've had 1 viral outbreak, the Tennessee Titans. And we will eventually get an investigation into what happened in Tennessee. 1 viral outbreak. People say all my mentions are like this, Gabe. Well, the NFL didn't have a plan for this. What? Because they didn't tell you their plan? They don't have a plan? Is that what you're telling me? Because every time there's a game that needs to be moved, guess what? Snap our fingers, 2 hours later, there's a brand new schedule. Of course they've thought about this. Of course they have. Everyone's like, well, you should give every team 2 byes. How does that matter? How does that matter? Seriously, how does that matter? One team has a bye here, one team has a bye. You can't, same thing would have happened. You just would have switched everything up again. Like this idea that the NFL is some bumbling, you know, organization that just kind of is new to the business, doesn't know what they're doing. Guys, over and over again, they prove you wrong with that. The NFL has done a great job. They've played now 6 weeks of training camp, or 6 weeks in the building, 5 regular season weeks. And right now, have 0 games postponed. 0 games postponed. Yes, they play on a Monday night. They play on a Tuesday. They move stuff around. The Chargers had 4 games moved. Oh, well, that's what playing football like is in 2020. And I know people are rightfully afraid of COVID. And it's okay if you are. It's okay if you're not. I think you should be a little bit concerned about it. But nonetheless, I'm not gonna like crush you either way. If you're scared or nervous about it, or if you don't even care at all, whatever. But like, you can't project your feelings onto the NFL season. The NFL season is happening. We're in the middle of it. It will continue to happen. The NFL, if needed, will put a week 18 on. They've booked out a month of hotel rooms in Tampa Bay. They can push the playoffs back. They'll do it. But as of right now, they're doing it. They're making it work. And I think, Gabe, the NFL should get a round of applause for making it work without a bubble right now.
Okay. I mean, I don't have anything I strongly disagree with in there. I think that fans of teams who are seeing their schedule thrown around and imagining that this is problematic for their team or unfair to their team. You know, these guys screwed up and now it's messing things up for me. That's not fair. Therefore, I blame the NFL. Mean tweets to follow. I don't agree with those people, but there are a lot of them.
Guess what? It's not fair this year. It's 2020. What is fair about 2020 besides the Lakers winning the championship? Congratulations, LeBron. What is fair about 2020? Like, what is fair? Nothing. And the NFL is playing a pandemic. The NFL players, they know. Tom Telesco, the Chargers general manager, said, if you're not flexible in 2020, that's like your fault, basically, right? Like, this is what it is this year. It's different. Now, I would agree with people that say the NFL has done too much for one team, which are the Titans, right? The NFL has changed everything for one team that clearly there's a problem. I get it, Titans fans. You hate me. I'm a Titans hater, blah, 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 blah. But how come you have a viral outbreak and nobody else does? Why is that? Like, the question has to be answered, okay? So the NFL has put protocols in place to avoid this, explicitly avoid this. 6 feet apart in meeting rooms, 6 feet apart in the gym, 6 feet apart in the meal room. It's very clear that outdoor activity, like outdoor practice and games, does not spread COVID, right? The Vikings and Titans played 2 weeks ago now, and not one Vikings player has gotten COVID, right? The Chiefs and Patriots played. We know Stephon Gilmore had COVID. No one on the Chiefs so far has gotten COVID from that game. So the protocols in place in the facility should limit the spread of COVID, okay? And it did in Tennessee. So they're obviously doing something they shouldn't be doing in that facility. And the question could be asked, Gabe, is the NFL doing too much to accommodate the one team who clearly did not follow the rules?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was you or someone else I like who said, it's time to start talking about forfeiting games. I mean, it was probably me,
but I've said that for a while now. But that feels very punitive, so I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, and it's almost unfair, right? So let's say you start handing out forfeits to the Titans. Let's say you prove that they broke every rule and they brought this upon themselves. Somebody deems that the truth. All right, you forfeit games. That means whoever was on their schedule is just gifted a win. Like, that's also not fair in a way. If you're in a division with a team who just got a free W, didn't even have to travel to Nashville, that also sucks. So there's, again, no fair solution in 2020.
Well, imagine if you're the Chiefs who did lose, but the Bills get a free win against the Titans. Steelers get a free win against the Titans. I mean, that's I get that. But the Bills kind of get screwed here, right? They go from playing Sunday, then playing Thursday against the Chiefs in a short week, to now they're on a short week. They go Sunday to Monday.
Yeah.
We have a Monday night football game at 5 p.m. Eastern next Monday. Chiefs and Bills. So that's we'll figure out what we're going to do for this podcast for that. That's a great game. It's not perfect. It's not fair, but so far the NFL, I think, is doing a great job. Look, the NBA did a great job, but they're in a bubble. Hockey, they're in a bubble. They're not in a bubble, you know, and they're doing a fabulous job.
Do you take anything seriously coming out of New England when the players, they're all tweeting cryptic nonsense and basically insinuating that they're unhappy with the league about how it was handled, that they traveled after a player tested positive, they were still asked to travel and keep to the schedule. They seem to be saying, like, why did we have to play? You know, do you take that seriously?
I think they're upset about it. I think they would be, but I mean, you know, they kind of agreed to it, right? So
that was the deal. The way I summed it up on our text thread is, if Bill Belichick can get on board with this and even he can just go along and go with the flow, then every other human on earth should be able to do it. If that guy can relax and play ball.
And it sounds like Bill Belichick, too, was the catalyst with the Patriots shutting down.
Yeah, right. When he's being careful and serious and football isn't coming first, that's probably an indication, everyone, to just take a deep breath and think about priorities. But
Bill's also like 70. He doesn't want to get COVID either.
No. All right, let's move the line. Jeff, we sort of teased this earlier because I couldn't help myself, and you were coming in hot at the beginning of the show. So I just want to know real quick here, percent Jeff is worried about the Chiefs right now, over under 25% worried.
Not worried at all.
Zero worry.
I lost one football game. Pass defense was atrocious. Pat didn't play terribly well. The offensive line had their issues. I mean, it lost the football game. It scored 32 points still. Made a penalty called back, another touchdown. Pat threw the ball 63 yards in the air. It was unbelievable. And a really bad penalty. So, I'm not worried at all.
Not worried.
Raiders, by the way, I'd like to formally congratulate you guys for winning the Super Bowl in October. It's a great accomplishment. You should hold that trophy. You should fly that banner and that new stadium in Vegas. Congratulations. You've won the Super Bowl in October.
We should probably start keeping track of the fan bases that think you hate them most in a power ranking order.
They all do. They all think, like, the Chiefs fans are just killing me today because I'm telling the truth about Pat Mahomes and his poor pocket presence.
Yeah. Yeah. They think that, just so I can make sure our audience understands, they believe that you are defending your brother who plays on the offensive line when you are critical of the way Pat fails to use the blocking setup.
Yes. I'm not even talking about my brother. Mitch is fine. He's not of my concern. He's a four-time All-Pro. I don't need to defend my brother on social media. I'm just telling you guys how it is. And this is why I'm good at my job, because I tell you how it is. Yeah. Even though you don't like it, even my brother plays for the Chiefs. They all follow me. The entire team follows me. The coaching staff follows me on Twitter. I'm going out of my way to basically put an X on my fucking back talking shit about Pat Mahomes. I'm not even talking bad about him. I'm saying, like, he's bad in the pocket right now. You know, and anything I say, too, falls back on my brother. So I have to be careful what I say, because they're going to think he told me, which, of course, he doesn't tell me anything about that. That's not what I'm talking. So, like, I put myself out on a limb to talk about Pat Mahomes on social media in a negative light.
Yeah, I can just say, having worked with you for a while, I've tried. You don't give any inside scoops. And B, you're brutally honest. And if your brother screwed it up, you'd be the first guy to say it. So I don't think we have to worry about your fairness. All right, let's move to another one. You know, we don't know why Adam Gase still had a job as of Monday. Dan Quinn is out in Atlanta. So I want to know, games Raheem Morris, who's stepping in to take over, games Raheem Morris needs to win to keep the job in Atlanta, over under, let's say, 2.5.
Asked if Raheem Morris could be a candidate for the head coaching position, Arthur Blank said, if Raheem ends up 11-0, then he'll certainly be a candidate.
Okay.
Well, over.
He needs to go over 2.5, I guess, according to the owner. But I mean, seriously, this is a guy who's on some people's short list anyway, right? Did a good job with their receivers, kind of moved around position groups. Now he's coaching the defense, or coordinating the defense. Wouldn't say that's been so great for his resume, but he's in charge. Not. Apparently the players like him. He was credited with some of their second half resurgence last year. You know, for people who do not know, he's African American. So that's something that a lot of teams are thinking about when they're hiring these days. You think he's got to win a few games, though, to keep the gig?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be the coach next year, but I think that any sort of change would be welcome for the Falcons right now.
All right. Well, yeah, they're, for now, just fade the Falcons every single week and you'll probably make some money. All right, let's do this. Over under Browns wins over Seahawks wins the rest of the way. So we know where they are. We got 11 more regular season games. Who's going to win more games?
All right, Browns have Bengals, Jets.
You're Jags, cheating. You're Titans, looking ahead Eagles, at all Giants. The notes. This was going to be my ammo against you.
Oh, I thought I'm allowed to look at the notes after you announce. After you announce, I would say Browns, and I'll tell you why.
Oh boy,
I'll tell you why. So Seattle, I need to pull up the tweet from and this is why it's fun to do this. Like, we have no reaction. The Seattle Seahawks have won some really, like, odd games.
Yeah.
Kevin Clark tweets out, I love it. The Seahawks have literally never played a normal game. I mean, they've won, you know, they won last night on a weird ending. They've won another game in a weird, they've won a bunch of stuff in weird endings. Like, I just, I don't know, but I think I'm going to, I don't know. I think I'll just go Browns for fun.
Browns are going to win more games here on out than the Seahawks.
Okay, here's it. Seahawks won in week two on a fourth down stuff at the goal line.
Yeah.
They won in week three on an end zone interception.
Yeah.
They won in week five on four, on two, on three fourth down conversions on the final drive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been weird. And yet they've been a good bet most weeks. So.
Oh, yeah. Up until this week, they hadn't covered. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And meanwhile, you started to give it away. But just so, you know, a lot of people who listen to this show pay attention to what you say about the Browns. They're on that list, by the way, the Browns fans. They've still
It's easier to make a list of who's not on my hate list.
Well, if the Chiefs are on the shit list too, we got very few fan bases left. Bengals, Jags, Jets, Texans, Eagles, and Giants all still remain on the Browns schedule, which means those are all almost gimmies. So that gets them to 10 right there. If they steal a game that maybe they shouldn't win in division, they could be talking about 11 or 12 wins. So I think the Browns are a real team.
They are definitely a real team. They're doing a great job so far.
All right. It's just a very different Jeff Schwartz this year. He's seen some things he likes with Stefanski and
I wasn't down on the Browns this year.
No, you weren't.
Down on last year.
You pounded the shit out of them last year. Here's a team that or a guy really that's been your punching bag for the last few weeks. Probably your neighbor. I bet he lives in that fancy neighborhood you live in. He might want to come by and take a dip in your pool.
No. He bought a house. Well, go ahead and announce who it is first. Okay. I'll tell you.
So total wins without Christian McCaffrey versus wins with Christian McCaffrey this season.
So he bought a house for $7.5 million on Lake Norman. It's probably the most expensive house that's sold in Charlotte in years. No one buys houses that expensive in Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Panthers are 3-0 without McCaffrey now. Their offense looks much better. But of course, you know, they paid him. So I tweeted out that the Panthers' offense was better without Christian McCaffrey. And Panther fans were angry, another fan base angry with me. I mean, evidence is right there, right? The offense has been better without Christian McCaffrey. I mean, what do you want me to tell you guys? So he'll come back. They'll force feed him again. I think the story here is that Matt Rule has done a fantastic job. Yeah. And you, by the way, you did not like the Matt Rule hire. You said that it was just whatever. Why is everyone so up on Matt Rule? You're pissed because the Jets, because you rejected the Jets.
No. I thought it was just a bunch of media garbage that he had a good agent who leaked the right stuff to a few important people. They probably all shared an agent. And all of a sudden, Matt Rule went from a guy who won a few games at Baylor and like Temple or someplace is the next Vince Lombardi. And I was just calling BS on that. But he's done well. Yeah.
He's the next Vince Lombardi.
Yeah. All right. So they'll bring Christian McCaffrey back and they'll win some games and lose some games. But you're going to say they're a better team without him currently.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. By the way, while we're talking about his mansion and your mansion, what is this I'm reading about your wife wants chickens in your backyard?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. She said yesterday, we're getting a chicken coop. I said, okay, we're doing it. She said, yeah, we're going to actually build it. We're going to order the parts and build it ourselves. I said, okay, we're going to have four chickens. All right. And we're going to let them just roam the backyard and they can just come back in the coop at night. Okay. And then we're getting a turkey.
What?
We're going to name it Thanksgiving. We're going to raise it and then slaughter it and eat it for Thanksgiving. So a couple of things you should know, guys. I grew up in Los Angeles. Okay. I am not an outdoors person. I have chickens in my backyard person.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not raise turkey, slaughter it and eat it person.
Yeah.
I have no problem with eating turkey. I have no problem with the actual slaughter part of it. I don't know where I'm going to slaughter it. I sit there and say, so what do? We have this turkey in the backyard. Our kids love it. Okay. They're going to grow up to love this turkey named Thanksgiving. And then what? Daddy's just taking a knife to its neck in the middle of the backyard and bleeding it out and then just picking the feathers off and cleaning it up and throwing it in the fire. Like, so, oh no, we'll take it to a butcher. So then instead of paying $25 for an organic turkey at Whole Foods for Thanksgiving that we're just going to dump in a bunch of peanut oil, I have to then pay to raise a turkey, then pay to get it butchered, and then cook it myself.
Yeah.
It's like a giant waste of time. Gabe, I don't even eat eggs for breakfast. Why do we need chickens?
Hey, Jeff, these are all the questions that were racing around in my brain.
I don't want a chicken to shit all over my backyard. I just paid six figures for a new backyard, a new pool, and landscaping. The last thing I want is, A, a chicken to fall in there and die, and two, just shit all over my backyard. And we have a rat snake that lives basically between my property and the neighbor's, a 6-foot rat snake, and just eats all the rodents. I haven't seen it yet. I know, that's the look I had too. I haven't seen it yet, and nor do I want to see it because I would be terrified of it. And it would eat all the chickens.
Wait. There's a 6-foot snake living in your property, and that's not the first headline of the whole show?
No, I mean, that's what my neighbor says. There's a rat snake.
You're saying rat snake, not rattlesnake.
No, rat, R-A-T. It just eats rodents. It's not like venomous or nothing. It's just like a black snake that just eats rodents.
Okay.
But 6 foot is long.
That's enormous. I don't want that anywhere near my kids.
Just eats the rodents.
One more question here. Obviously your wife's done a little bit of research, but do turkeys and chickens live together? Is that doesn't seem natural to me.
Yeah, we just leave them in the backyard together.
Okay, another dumb follow-up question. They have wings. Can't they just like flap their way? I know they can't fly, but can't they just like flap away?
Dude, you're asking the wrong person. I have no idea.
Okay. All right. This is going to probably be a theme of the next few episodes of this show because I need to hear more about this.
I can invite her on and she can tell you all about it.
I think we should. I just want to be here when that happens. So
okay, we'll wait a couple weeks.
Yeah, maybe give it a couple weeks till she's done some more research. Then we'll do a special. We'll just do a segment called Jeff Schwartz's Wife Makes Us Smarter About Chickens. All right. I want to know real quick fantasy question here. Percent of leagues where Chase Claypool is already taken, 95% over under.
I mean, he's already over now. I mean, that the 4 touchdowns. And then also, how funny was it? The Tom Brady.
Terrific.
He put his face
media.
Over 4. It was fantastic.
He was ready, man. He was all over it. So
he was ready to go. He looked good.
Here's the thing I thought when I saw this. Obviously, I had a great day. It bummed me out because I drafted Juju and I was like, what the hell? All these balls should be going his way. Clearly, this kid can play. Here's the thing, though. It reminded me of a conversation we had a few weeks ago. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers and his weapons and how they never draft him a first-round wide receiver. Big Ben, probably the best possible comp to Aaron Rodgers in terms of resume in the same time period. He has made stars out of Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Juju. Now this guy Chase looks pretty good. Martavis Bryant, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. None of them were first-round picks. How does Ben do it? Who the hell is Chase Claypool? Why do he look so good?
I don't have a great reason for you. They're just good at wide receivers. They're good. I don't know if you know that Kevin Colbert, the GM, is just good at picking wide receivers.
Or Ben's just good at throwing easy balls. I mean, he's not throwing deep balls. He's just putting it where they need it, and then they just basically kick return from there.
I mean, and he's always been good at deep passing.
Well, okay. Last question, because your Lakers did win, sort of my Lakers, our friends, at ESPN and Fox are having the MJ LeBron debate all day, of course. So I'll just ask you this: over under 1.5 more rings for LeBron.
I would say under, I'd say just one more.
You think he gets one more with the Lakers?
Yeah, I think one more.
What's the limitation? Right. Somebody gets better than him, or he retires?
I just think that it's just hard to win titles in the NBA. And the Warriors will be back to full strength pretty soon. The Clippers, I don't know if they're going to be back to where they are. He's also like 100 years old. I mean, he averaged what 29-9-9, almost 9. I think it was like 29-9-8. Probably his best finals of his career. It's the highest shooting percentage in his history. He made, by the way, the highest percent of twos in NBA history in a final series. He made over 60% of twos. He was remarkable. He was fabulous. It was odd to watch that with no fans, honestly. But you knew that after game six was going to go that direction. And I think one. I feel better just saying one. It's hard to win the NBA. It's hard to have a dynasty. Hard to win 3 years in a row, right? We haven't seen that since the Bulls, since the Lakers, right? Early 2000s. Yeah, early 2000s, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, the Lakers won 2 in 9 and 10. And then I believe the Warriors
had a chance at it.
They won 3 and 4, right?
Won 3 and 4 and then maybe another one a couple years later. Yeah, but not, I don't think a three-peat.
Yeah, so it's really hard to win three titles in a row. So I would say that I would probably I would say no.
Okay. Just keep in mind that Davis expected to re-sign. He'd be a 5-year deal. He's in his prime. 1-year deals are possible for a few of the other role guys there. They've got cap room. Like the experts
three of five. Went to five straight.
Three of five.
They beat the Cavs.
One.
Lost the Cavs.
Yeah, so and then
They played the Cavs four times in a row.
Yeah.
They beat the Cavs, lost to the Cavs, beat them twice in a row, yeah. They lost to the Raptors.
Oh, right. And then they lose to the Raptors. That's right.
So the last one. So the Bulls won 96, 97, 98. And the Spurs, 99. And the Lakers won three in a row. That's the last time someone had won three in a row.
There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. Over under Rafa titles or Fed titles? Who's going to have more at the end of the day?
It's
great answer. That's the answer I wanted. I stupidly asked you a tennis question, and I don't even care about the answer, so I'm glad that was your reaction.
I knew who they are, but who cares?
It doesn't matter. It's a bunch of guys smacking a tennis ball.
I'm not participating in this discussion. All right. Great show, everyone. Really appreciate it. We're getting a lot more listeners and subscribers, and really appreciate the downloads. It's really great to see this podcast continue to grow. So we appreciate you guys for listening and tuning in and providing feedback. We'll continue to give you good shows. So have a great couple of days. We'll be back with a gambling episode on Thursday. We had a winning week. We'll hope to continue that rolling over into week 6. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good couple of days.